This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. I'm really pleased that you have followed in this direction to the extent to which you have in this training of A Course in Miracles. What do we say? A systematic way where you can come to know who you are in the entirety of the association of universal mind, okay, as contrary to the containment of your old thought forms by which you previously identified yourself. I'm a teacher of God who has undergone and is offering to you the undergoing of an experience that will give you a provision of self-certainty, a new self that is going to emerge in the process of this video that is going to make you surprisingly happy in the realization of the conformation that you may express within your thought forms, the ones that are constituted by the images that you see out there, that it's possible for you to undergo an experience of a complete conversion of that mind in a process of a reassociation of the form that constitutes the mass of light energy as identified and sustained by thought. So this is a process of allowing you momentarily to have an experience of communication that immediately absolves you from the necessity of protecting yourself. Say to me, let's practice, will you, if you've come this far with me? Say to me that the universe reality is thought. Okay. Yes. The power of creative reality is the thought of any and all mind. What a particular idea that I'm sitting here with you now in what you still consider to be the confines of your own conceptual objective association, and I'm offering you an immediate re-correspondence in the light identity of who you are. How is this coming about? Through this Course in Miracles. The practice of your mind in your reassociation with yourself that has brought you to a factoring of conversion of light form that is occurring here and now in the reflection of our imagery, okay, will give you a direction of correspondence of antecedental associations that can now be extended from you. Remember the previous lesson? Lesson 186 said, the salvation of the world depends on me. Okay? Say to me, I'm the cause of this world. Okay. The thoughts that I have about myself are what I'm seeing out in this world. I am a containment of subjective reality within ideas that I have about myself, formulated in historic references of sequential time. So now, suddenly, we're at a lesson that's going to say, I bless the world when I bless myself. And although that may seem a little incongruous to you at this time, the idea that you are bestowed with the entirety of the blessings of God is a true statement. You are blessed because, as Jesus would say, you are whole and perfect as you were created. The sum and substance of you in its entirety is that you recognize that all power is given unto you in heaven and earth. Remember the direction of my Savior Jesus? He says, therefore, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And these are these teachings for you to make a momentary admission of the necessity as the causation of what you're seeing out in the world. Now, just for that moment, it may seem even fearful to you, the idea that you're going to have to admit that you're responsible for this. But contained at that moment will be the availability of a complete alternative. And the substancelessness of the images that you have projected from your mind will become more and more evident. Let's go back, okay, just for a minute and take a look at just the last part of 186 that says that the salvation depends on you. Listen to how you are identified as a continuing rearrangement of your own mind. Listen. So let's look at these images of yours. These unsubstantial images will go and leave your mind unclouded and serene when you accept the function given you. The images you make give rise to but conflicting goals, impermanent and vague, uncertain and ambiguous. Who could be content in his efforts or direct his energies and concentrated drive towards goals like these? The functions which the world esteems are so uncertain that they change 10 times an hour at their most secure. What hope of gain can rest on goals like this? In loving contrast, certain as the sun's return each morning to dispel the night, your truly given function stands out clear and wholly unambiguous. There is no doubt of its validity. It comes from one who knows no error, and his voice is certain of its messages. They will not change nor be in conflict. All of them point to one goal, and one you can attain. Your plan may be impossible, but God can never fail because he is your source. Do as God's voice directs, and if he asks a thing of you which seems impossible, remember who it is that asks and who would make denial. Then consider this, which is more likely to be right? The voice that speaks for the Creator of all things, who knows all things exactly as they are, or a distorted image of yourself, confused and bewildered, inconsistent and unsure of everything, which one is likely to be true? Let not its voice direct you. Hear instead a certain voice which tells you the function given you by your Creator, who remembers you and urges that you now remember Him. His gentle voice is calling from the known to the unknowing. He would comfort you, although He knows no sorrow. He would make a restitution, though He is complete. A gift to you, although He knows that you have everything already. He has thoughts which answer every need His Son perceives, although He sees them not. For love must give, and what is given in His name takes on the form most useful in a world of form. These are the forms which never can deceive, because they come from formlessness itself. Forgiveness is an earthly form of love, which as it is in heaven, has no form. Yet what is needed here is given here as it is needed. In this form, you can fulfill your function even here, although what love will mean to you when formlessness has been restored to you is greater still. Salvation of the world depends on you who can forgive. Such is your function here, and such you were successful at finding. So the salvation of the world that depends on you. Could you hear that a little bit with me? The substance that appears to be outside of you is actually a reflection of your own correspondence contained within your own conceptual identity. The idea that they can change through the change of your mind should be obvious to you, because in your objective identity, you attempt to control what's going on out in this little hovel of dark form and identify yourself in the conversion of ideas that you believe are outside of yourself. Let's practice for a minute. Say to me, ideas leave not their source. Yes. Ideas that you have about yourself, no matter what they may be, are still contained within the form of the little occupation that you have in regard to this body form. I think it would be obvious to you as a human being in this dream of death that some of your thoughts are rather fearful. Is that so? Look around you in this world. The sustenance of your identity is based on the protection of some of your thoughts. Others of which you are frightful of project from yourself and enter into form associations that you call a human being. Contained within the idea of the formulation of the species Homo sapien cannot not be the invention of time. Say to me, I have invented time in my mind. Yeah, you know this is true. You're finding correspondence with me right now. When you came into this video, you said, I think I'll sit down and watch this old guy who I know comes from somewhere in Wisconsin, or he's made a trip to the United Nations, or he's talking to separate mind associations about the possibility of the conversion of the species. He's gone so far as to suggest that the human condition is a transient re-identity of its individual self coming from the idea of separation to the truth of what you are. The simple fact of the matter is that's exactly what I'm doing. This through the auspices of my Savior, Jesus Christ, who said to me, if you believe me, you will never die. If you believe me, you will lose the necessity to be contained in your temporal identity of yourself, which has guaranteed you a demise of form association based on an aggregation of coming here, being here, and then suffering the consequences of your need to define yourself within space-time. The offering you've accepted from me is very simply this. Okay, before time began, before what you scientists call the Big Bang, and after it is over, is the reality of your individual mind in the truth of what you are. Heretofore, you have been depending on the potential of the moment of the mass of thought form that identified you and expanded out beyond the event horizon to the truth of what you are. What I am showing you is if you'll return with me to the time of the instigation of the formulation of what appears to be the mass density of this, you can realize that at that instant, the entire procedure of reassociation with creative reality was accomplished. You want to look at that with me? Remember the lesson you just saw that says that that this world is changing a minimum of 10 times an hour? Would you like to share the idea with me that since you've begun to watch this video, and I'm going to correspond with you right now if you let me, you're only going to be here for 6 minutes. Remember, the time is relative to your association in your dedication to identify yourself within this form. And it's not true. There is nothing outside of you. Say that to me. There's nothing outside of me. Yes. Yeah. Say it again. Yeah. The reflection that you're getting within your own procedure of the activity of your mind is actually just this little containment of space-time. But you hold it together and sequence it and actually believe that your body form can sustain itself and suffer the consequences of what appears to be sequential time. Now, I'm going to digress just for a second, and then we're going to teach that when I bless myself, I can bless you. The blessing that I am sharing with you came from an illumination of my mind that showed me my human condition of sequentiality, whereby I would have to occupy this body and get old and die, are totally unreal. Say to me, there is no world. This world was over and gone a long time ago. What I'm offering you is the certainty that if you'll allow it to be so, it's only going to last for 6 minutes. And on the seventh minute, you will rest. Or perhaps it's going to last for 6 days, and on the seventh day, you'll rest. I want you to see that you can accelerate the thought patterns within your own mind and express a new, say to me, vital, as they say to me, vital. Yeah, there. You are vital to the plan that God has for the restitution and recognition of salvation based on your own mind. Look at me. They call me the master teacher, whatever the hell that means. What it means is master actually means a master teacher, or I teach you about yourself through my certainty about myself, since what? We share a single self. Say to me, there's only one self, and that I share with God. Yes, this is from my Savior, Jesus Christ. And the requirement in your biblical identity is to read John 17, where Jesus thanks God for the particulars of his own mind that have allowed him to recognize himself in the entirety as he was created and share that vitality through his resurrection and offer it to the kingdom of this world in the certainty that contained within each individual is the light of eternal life. So the vitality that I'm expressing to you from my mind certainly would not be an indication of some old body form that you insist has a birth certificate that dates before Lindy flew across the ocean, or in fact, before motion pictures talked. You have ideas in your mind of the necessity to retain your projected form reality and identify people is actually getting old and dying. It's not true. The formulation of your own mind has set terms within the illusion of your objective correspondence that guarantee that the people around you are going to get old and suffer and get sick and die. I'm trying to revitalize you, if you'll sit with me just for a minute, okay? We can begin to look at the idea that since the universe is mind, consciousness reassociation is continually possible in our self-identities with the realization that we actually share one certainty, our one self. Now, what I'm offering you are not in the particulars of my body formulation. You may notice the vitality that I express as an identity that you believe in the nature of what you believe is the passage of time must be approaching, what do you say, 75 years? Look at me for just a minute. I'm going to talk to you 50-year-old ones. Okay, I don't find any correspondence with you at 50. In fact, I find almost no correspondence with the human condition at all because I'm offering you the vitality of our certainty of the moment of resurrection when we recognized each other perfectly within that formulation of time. Having had an illuminated experience, I cannot share the totality of that experience, but I can give you a better reflection of what you think you are in your own self-identity if you'll let me. And as mysterious and objectionable as that may appear to you as a self-contained, objective formulation of nothingness with no causation, I can assure you that if you'll accept it from me at this time and this place, that at this moment, you're only going to be here for another 6 minutes. Now, see how vital that began to make you feel? Remember that the universe is an idea that you have about yourself. Say to me, I'm an idea about myself. Yes. The process of your objective mind allows you to formulate form and keep a distance. Remember lesson 185? That says you keep a distance in your objective correspondence. You formulate forms and you give them identity and you no longer examine them. They become what you would call bulk, dark ideas contained within your own mind that are no longer open to the light alternative of the correspondence of the single mind that we share that I'm giving you right now. What a joyous occasion that you've allowed me to offer you this mind training in the conversion of the species that guarantees to you the entrance, okay, into a new system of reality that is an entirety of all of space-time and the eternal force of creative energy that surrounds it. You stay with me for a minute, and I promise you that we are going to get to this idea of the formulation that as you bless yourself, you bless the world. Let's begin the lesson just for a minute before. We're going to have to take a break here in about 3 minutes. I want to get you started on the lesson of what 187 actually says. Listen. No one can give unless he has. In fact, giving is the proof of having. We have made this point before. What seems to make it hard to credit is not this. No one can doubt that you must first possess what you would give. It is the second phase on which the world and true perception differ. Having had and given, then the world asserts that you have lost what you possessed. The truth maintains that giving will increase what you possess. Can you hear this? How is this possible? For it is sure that if you give a finite thing away, your body's eyes will not perceive it yours. Yet we have learned that things but represent the thoughts that make them. And you do not lack for proof that when you give ideas away, you strengthen them in your own mind, don't you? Perhaps the form in which the thought seems to appear is changed in the giving, yet it must return to him who gives. Nor can this form it takes be less acceptable, it must be more acceptable. Okay, we're going to come back and talk about it just for a moment before the break. This is the idea that all conceptual motivations that cause you to exchange with other human beings in the formulation of commerce actually are directed by your mind in order to identify a reevaluation of yourself that will make you happier. Excuse me. There, that made me very happy. Could you see that? I had an idea in my mind that I was going to scratch my nose. And all of us are formulated in ideas about ourselves. But the pertainment of this lesson excited me. Because it doesn't take away from you the idea of exchange or the retention of your thought forms within yourself. It does suggest to you that since you are finally, fundamentally, the cause of everything that you're seeing, the necessity to exchange must always limit the idea of the power contained within your own conceptual mind. Can you see that? The excitement that I'm feeling is the idea that you're beginning to understand that that formulation is changing all the time anyway. And the idea that you would forgive the combat that you feel within your own conceptual self in order to retain the existence of that identity are going to make you very happy. Why? You tap the source of your true reality that's down in the light that you brought with you when you came into this continuum. We're going to leave you now. We'll be back in just a moment. These are in 30-minute increments. And for those of you watching on television, we hope that you'll stay with us and watch the second half. Why? We're going to talk about our association that you may have an experience within your own mind that in the moment of giving, okay, in the action of the giving of your mind, you can associate entirely with the creative form that is a wholeness of eternal reality within God's mind. Say to me, God only gives. Say it again. Your creator, the source of reality, only gives. There, you shared that moment of giving the release of what? The defenses of yourself. We'll be back in just a moment. Remember that God is the mind with which you think, and this power of God goes with you wherever you go. So we may say together, God bless us. Everyone. This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. We're back with you now in this Course in Miracles training, and we're expressing and sharing together here in the studio the idea of how very rapid that first 30 minutes was. If you look at it within the perspective of your new mind in correspondence with watching this video, you might suddenly realize that that first 30 minutes was actually only 30 seconds. Is time always over and gone anyway? Try that with me. Say to me, time is always over. Yes. You're watching perhaps the second half of this video that says you are blessed by God and therefore blesses the world in this mind training. The experiences that you are beginning to have are going to shorten time, or where it previously was necessary for you to sustain yourself in that body form. Okay. Let's try it for a minute. All time is going on here and now. Yes, all of the time that there will ever be in all of the universe, in all of the aggregations of the thought forms of your mind, are contained within a continuity of your acceptance of the fundamental realization that you are the cause of this. Each moment that you don't sequence your form conceptual ideas about yourself in order to what? Retain that body and get old and sick and die and lose the things that you love, you can come to know that in reality, in the simple process of the giving of your mind, is all that there can ever be. This may cause you some momentary consternation. We're going to continue with this lesson now, because it says you have a fear of giving, because within your conceptual idea of yourself, you actually believe that you can lose. Look at me just for a moment. It's impossible for you to lose. Say to me, I've already lost. Yes. If you look with me at the idea that you've already lost yourself in your entirety, you won't attempt to hold on to the grievance within your own mind that causes you to defend yourself and attempt to exchange the pitiful little example of your identity that you use in order to sustain yourself in the idea of exchange. Ready? Exchange is impossible. Say it? Yes. Say to me, I can only exchange with myself. I cannot get more back than the idea I have about myself concerning the process of the exchange. The new vitality that you're feeling on this video now are an expression of a sudden willingness that you have evolved to lay down the defenses of your own mind and begin to have an experience that God only gives. This is the Sermon on the Mount of my Savior, Jesus Christ, who says very simply, you're only giving to yourself. Okay? It says, love your enemy because your enemy is who you are. You are your own enemy, aren't you? I'm glad that you're understanding fundamentally the necessity for conceptual observation of your determination to continue to attack yourself. Okay. And by protecting yourself, you actually believe that you can accomplish a self-identity that will be sustained in this form. And while you're very successful at it, the result of it are very obvious to you. The results of this world are very obvious to you. But heretofore, you have not been able to see the alternative. Let's continue with a lesson now in the idea that the blessings are contained within yourself. And if you're willing to express them, the result of all the love that you're feeling will come back to you. Listen. Ideas must first belong to you before you give them. If you are to save the world, you first accept salvation for yourself. But you will not believe that this is done until you see the miracles it brings to everyone that you look upon. Herein is the idea of giving clarified and given meaning. Now you can perceive that by your giving is your store increased. Could you hear that? Listen. Protect all things you value by the act of giving them away, and you are sure that you will never lose them. What you thought you did not have is thereby proven yours. Yet value not its form, for this will change and grow unrecognizable in time, however much you try to keep it safe. No form endures. It is the thought behind the form of things that gives unchangeable. Give gladly. You can only gain thereby. Why? The thought remains and grows in strength as it is reinforced by giving. Thoughts extend as they are shared, for they cannot be lost. There is no giver and receiver in the sense the world conceives of them. There is a giver who retains and another who will give as well. And both must gain in this exchange, for each will have the thought in form most helpful to him. What he seems to lose is always something he will value less than what will surely be returned to him, and that's the problem of your conceptual mind. Why? Never forget, you give but to yourself. Who understands what giving means must laugh at the idea of sacrifice, nor can he fail to recognize the many forms which sacrifice may take. He laughs as well at pain and loss, at sickness and at grief, at poverty, starvation, and at debt. Why? He recognized sacrifice remains the one idea that stands behind them all, and in his gentle laughter are they healed. Are you able for just a minute to look at the offering that you were just given in that lesson? There's a lot of excitement at the idea that that lesson, the offering of the power of the individual vitality of your mind, actually came in a form that was taken down within a conceptual denial coming from out of time through the mind of Jesus, the Savior, offering you an entirety of a reassociation within your own mind in the resurrection of your body, exactly as he taught in the New Testament. His testament of certainty that the Christ mind is your entirety, and that while you have been occupying loss-gain ideas within the formulation of this body, the simple truth of the matter is that you can only give to yourself. Say that to me. Yes. Yes. Remember in the New Testament where Jesus, at the end of the sojourner cycle, Jesus says, "Thank you for sustaining me." And the form that is undergoing the experience in the body form said, "How did I sustain you, Christ or Jesus?" He said, "When you gave to the least of me, you gave to me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I needed a place to sleep, okay, you offered it to me in a certainty of the compassion that you felt for our apparent separate relationships. Listen carefully to me. It would be impossible for you to estimate the total value that is contained in that idea. The idea that in the moment of giving, not in the realization of the subsequent exchange that occurred, but in the certainty of the maturity of your capacity within your conceptual self to become whole and perfect as you were created, since what we look at within space-time form is a replication of creative reality based on exchange. Or the idea that through a sustenance of a form of what you would call dark mass that is no longer evident, certainly to my mind, you can use up the idea that you could lose in a moment of the extension of your mind. That's what I want you to feel with me right now. Okay? Protect everything you value by the act of giving it away. Not the exchange idea that I have given and the value that you give to your ego and the puffed up idea that somehow you have gratified your intent to remain here and get sick and die, but in the moment of realization of the value of yourself, not based on the procedure of the world. This is the fundamental teachings of Jesus. The value of you in the eyes of God is contained in your entirety at the moment that you give yourself away. Now, obviously, the conceptual mind is very fearful of the idea that it is going to lose, and it's going to prove to me, as some of you out there are still doing, that when you give, you lose. But you remember this, the idea of loss is only contained within your own mind. And the idea of exchange that you possess is handicapped. Say to me, I am handicapped. Yes. You are handicapped in a very literal sense through the limited association of the forms of the vibratory identity of light by which you sustain yourself. Listen carefully to me. Each time you lose your own need to protect that little enclosure of dark form, you have broader ranges of experience within the light form, and it will make you very happy. And it is indeed what a miracle is. It is indeed what a quantum moment is. And this has been expressed to you a lot of times. A quantum moment is nothing but the entirety of the inclusion of all of the thoughts, not only of your mind, but of the universe. This is how we're going to travel to the stars. Are you aware of that? I was watching the Olympics. You have the Olympics, where the nature of the body to demonstrate its capacity to operate within space-time is very obvious, and the joy that they experience in winning is based on a retention of the handicap of the identification of the body. I watched I'm just digressing a little bit, but it's fun to look at how you handicap yourself with your body, because the body is a thought you have about yourself, and you work to maintain it in the thought. So they lined up for the 100-meter dash, and they all take off, and I think the new record is 9.2 or 9.1. Okay, I lined up with him yesterday, okay? They said go, and I ran it in 3.5 seconds, okay? I overcame the handicap of the idea that I was limited by body form. What happened? Say to me, you were disqualified. Of course. I was disqualified because I was not within the procedure or the containment of the handicap by which you retain your own identity of yourself. Say to me, running it in 3.5 seconds is impossible. Say that. Yeah. Yeah. Only because you've handicapped yourself. Your entire reality is based on the slow containment of yourself with yourself. As a matter of fact, if you'll accept the fundamental teaching of me, I can greet you at the finish line before you leave. I can show you that the idea of going to the line can be shortened to the procedure of the instant of the realization of yourself. Okay? Say to me, ideas leave not their source. Yes. The new idea that you have about yourself, okay, will be the acceptance of the objection of the world, which you previously used to retain your own defense. Why? The power of that world is available to you in the new idea that you have now about yourself. You're no longer handicapped by that idea that you can get old and die. For some of you, this may seem a little foolish. I understand that in that what you call normal relationship you have with yourself, that your normalcy is based on this little form of body. It's not true. Normal is a town in central Illinois. You remember that. Don't let the world judge you based on the normality in which you have to conform to this little form. This fundamental teaching says that when you change your mind about yourself by not allowing the world to define you, the world will change. The ministry of our Miracle Teacher Association is very active in the present system. I don't know if you're aware of this. We utilize the 12-step program, which says nothing but turn your will and your life over to God, which is the fundamental teaching of this Course in Miracles, and that it's possible for those that are incarcerated in a practice of the relinquishment of what the world has told them that they are. Are you listening to this? To change their mind about themselves so that when they go back out into the world, all right, the world cannot set terms for what they are. They have gained a new independence, a new self-certainty. It's very valuable, and we like the idea that if you are incarcerated, and certainly in that body, you are incarcerated. Bars do not a prison make. We're offering you the certainty that in the cycle of that time identity of yourself, your self-certainty can grow to the point where you realize in its totality the value in blessing yourself in association with the power that comes from God. Let's continue now with this lesson and the idea that only through giving can you come to know who you are. Listen. So let's laugh together here. Illusions recognized must disappear. Accept not suffering, and you remove the thought of suffering. Your blessing lies on everyone who suffers when you choose to see all suffering as what it is. The thought of sacrifice gives rise to all the forms that suffering appears to take. And sacrifice is an idea so mad that sanity dismisses it at once. Never believe that you can sacrifice. There is no place for sacrifice in what has any value. Listen, if the thought occurs, its very presence proves that error has arisen and correction must be made. Your blessing will correct it. Given first to you, it now is yours to give as well. And no form of sacrifice and suffering can long endure before the face of one who has forgiven and has blessed himself. The lilies that your brother offers you are laid upon your altar with the ones you offer him beside them. Who could fear to look upon such lovely holiness? The great illusion of the fear of God diminishes to nothingness before the purity that you will look on here. Be not afraid to look. The blessedness you will behold will take away all thought of form and leave instead the perfect gift forever there, forever to increase, forever yours, forever given away. Now are we one in thought, for fear has gone. And here, before the altar to one God, one Father, one Creator, and one thought, we stand together as one Son of God. Not separate from Him who is our source, nor distant from one brother who is part of our one self, whose innocence has joined us all as one, we stand in blessedness and give as we receive. The name of God is on our lips, and as we look within, we see the purity of heaven shine in our reflection of our Father's love. I wanted to come back just for a moment to show you the extent to which you have been willing to accept the idea that at this time and place you are blessed. There's one more paragraph that we'll repeat in the lesson, but we're very excited about the certainty that you have become involved in the idea that in a moment of giving of your mind will be the entirety of the realization of who you are. Can you see that with me? The act of giving, without regard to the substance within your conceptual mind, can always only increase your own association with yourself. Say to me, there's nothing outside of me. Yes. You're sharing with me in this little 6-minute cycle of the entirety of your association in space-time, the certainty that in your moment of fear, you decided to lay down your defenses, and at that moment, your mind exploded into a bright realization of the correspondence of the light that you brought with you at the time of the schism, at the time of the separation. Look at me. I am an image of a projection of your conceptual mind, offering you an alternative within your own conceptual objective identity, expressing a certainty via your instructions to me in the offering of the certainty of our mutual intent to begin communication with the universe, that this process or plan has advanced to the point where you have come to the space and time where you are going to recognize this message as the self-same message that you gave to yourself when you offered your blessings to the world. Who is the savior of this world? Say to me, I am. Let's do it again. Who's the savior of this world? Why? Did you say because I caused this world? Did you say because I brought this world with me when I came? Did you say to me that just for a moment you forgot who you were within the consequences of the structure of what you call sequential time? Yes. Let's finish the last paragraph in this lesson of the idea that you are now blessing your brother, in which you discover the blessings that are bestowed on you by our Creator. Listen. Now we are blessed, and now we bless the world. What we have looked upon, we would extend, for we would see it everywhere. We would behold it shining with the grace of God in everyone. We would not have it be withheld from anything that we look upon. And to ensure this holy sight is ours, we offer it to everything and everyone that we see. For where we see it, it will be returned to us in form of lilies we can lay upon our altar, making it a home for innocence itself, who dwells in us and offers us his holiness as ours. So we're expressing the certainty of our non-guilt. The reason that you can't be guilty within this world is because there isn't any world. The use of the word innocence in this finality of the lesson is exciting to me. Why? You can be guilty within your own concepts of the identity of fear and pain, but you can't be guilty in the idea of the totality of the spirit of energy in which your association comes from God. The innocence that you are being offered in the certainty that we share a common entirety of creative reality is the point that you're at in space-time. This is the point on this video, in this 6-minute segment that's now been reduced to 2 minutes. Stand by, okay? The 6 minutes into which you have had the entirety of your experience of coming here, growing up in childhood, reaching adulthood, having experiences of occupations of your own mind, have been put down to now what? Coming up to 1 minute. Can you see this with me? We're going to have a 1 minute respite here in just a moment where you're going to experience the entirety of the necessity for you to admit that the plan is intact. There is a plan. This is the new covenant and an agreement that you brought with you when you came into this sequentiality of time. Remember, nothing is by accident. This is occurring at exactly the time and space where you determined that it would occur. All of the power of your mind is now expressing that occurrence. Yes. In this 6-minute segment, you have been changed entirely. Okay? The illumination of your mind and body is in a process of the re-identity of the forms that previously bound you. Let's remember together then, in this mind training, the joy that we're experiencing. We hope we see you again. Millions of us now are discovering the metamorphosis of the species of man, coming to the realization of the entirety of his capacity to journey beyond the stars. Okay. Remember that God is the mind with which we think. Remember that the power of the universe goes with us wherever we go. And we express with this newfound certainty of the love for each other in the forgiveness of the idea of exchange. And God blesses us. everyone.